Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the ClearSale Conference, where we'll discuss the results of the third quarter and in the first 9 months of 2023. All participants are connected as listeners. Later on, we will open the question and answer session, when we will give you instructions about how to participate. The video presentation is being transmitted simultaneously via internet and webcast. The recording will be available at the IR site of the company at ri.clear.sale. Presentation of the slides is also available on the site for the investors of the company and also in the site of the CVM. Before continuing, I would like to mention that any declaration that be made during this conference relative to perspectives of business perspectives are provisions based on the current expectation of the management of the company. These expectations are subject to change due to macroeconomic conditions and other market conditions and other factors. Future considerations are not guarantees of performance, involve risks, uncertainties, and premises, because they refer to future events and therefore depend on circumstances which may or may not happen. The general macroeconomic conditions and other operational factors may affect the results of the company and can lead us to results which are quite different than those expressed in these considerations. We have with us today Eduardo Mónaco, CEO of ClearSale, Alexandre Mafra, CFO, and Hernán Ikemoto, Director of Investor Relations. Initially, Mónaco will make comments about the highlights, strategic highlights of the company during the period. And after that, Mafra will talk about the financial results of ClearSale. After that, both will be available with Hernán to answer any questions which you may have. I would like to now pass the microphone over to Eduardo. Please go ahead. Good morning, everybody. It's great to meet to receive you again to the results earnings call of ClearSale. In this quarter, we had the results of the third quarter and a relevant part of the strategic movements which we have made. In this last few quarters, we're starting to talk a little bit about the dynamic of the market, which has involved companies which are very much related to the digital retail environment and the concession of credit in the macroeconomic environment. ClearSale, as others, have been affected by this movement, and we are going to talk a little bit about the compression of our revenue, which is part of a relevant strategic plan for the company. Starting, I wanted to talk about the dynamic of the market, of e-commerce market in Brazil, where we separate, on one side, the underperformers and the high performers, to show you that within the segment of e-commerce, which produces a good deal of the revenue of ClearSale, we have on the left several segments of growth, more compressed growth, and historically are very relevant in the history of ClearSale. And on the other side, segments which have very strong growth, which are a relevant part of our strategy for growth through componentization and technology. In this graph, it's very clear that on the underperformer side, we have growth, which is quite compressed, like GMV, which is quite concentrated, especially in the marketplaces. And in the high performers, we have a much more relevant performance for the lower GMV. It shows our strategy of showing shortly our strategy of decentralization and deconcentration of our revenue in these big marketplaces, which have historically been very important for ClearSale. And with everything that we've done, we're going to show this in red shortly. This dynamic is important because, as a background, because we decided to spend our energy telling you and reminding you that a good part of our strategic movements have been cascaded over the recent quarters in the company. Remembering that we left the process of a post-pandemic process with a very high growth and the movement of low interest rates, where all companies, technology and digital companies, grew a great deal. ClearSale, if I had a quarter with no growth in 2022, and we then started a project, an important project for us, where we recover our margins, our gross margins, which we call the plan, the Brazil balancing plan. This balancing has been done constantly, looking for efficiencies and better gross margins and our operational results. Beyond that, an operation of the componentization of our operation, so that we can, through technology, make new sales in new segments, seeking an improvement of our gross margin. At the beginning of this quarter, we also mentioned, which makes a big turnaround in our turnaround from the standpoint of profitability, as we showed in the previous quarter, and we will continue to show a large recovery in this, which we also saw, and it's worth mentioning, that in this quarter, we made an important adjustment in our organization, seeking more simplification, a strategic reduction in our projects without losing the quality of our services and our focus on growth, sustainable growth in the medium term. This restructuring was very significant, and Maffra will give us more numbers, more color for this, but the effect of the rescission, which was placed into this quarter, however, the effects of cost reduction we will see in the coming quarters, and the benefits will appear starting at that time. All the process continues on our planning, and the division of a company which has been portfolio more and more diversified and resilient, reducing drastically our dependence on the biggest clients. And here it's worth mentioning that this box on the right, where we can see the importance of the large marketplaces, of the new economy, and other products. And when we make a new economy with better margins, better timing, and other products with physical deliveries, and the revenue of e-commerce in Brazil through Brazil. Note that in the third quarter of 2022, the large marketplaces represented 22% of all of the revenue of Brazilian e-commerce. When we go to the third quarter of 2023, the reduction is almost 10 percentage points, reducing this dependency by 38%. And note that this effect was very accentuated in last quarter, and that's why we point out this movement in the market, where these players and marketplaces have had compression on their digital revenues and also ClearSale diversifying its portfolio of products has made an important movement in terms of reduction of this dependency. As far as the new economy, the products with better margins and much more diversification, we gain space in the revenue of e-commerce for ClearSale, showing that many receivers are looking at the future of ClearSale. We reposition our products and our solutions and our base clients. This is true for e-commerce, fraud applications, seeking a revision for how to have products which are more adherent to the new market and which will help us to grow in our clients with more efficiency. And with that, we unlock several addressable markets, which are today in the pipeline of bigger growth, which we'll call the new economy, beyond repositioning our product also in application fraud. We also have a third and second block of our strategy, which is the deleveraging of our company, especially in this more challenging macro scenario. We have shown you a constant reduction in our volume of personnel, principally in the operation people. And this has left the company more light in terms of personnel. And we also made an important change, as I mentioned earlier, in the administrative area. With that, we have diminished structurally our fixed costs and our expenses of the company past through this challenging scenario that we have seen for the end of this year, 2023, and probably into the beginning of 2024 as well. That's why we seek internally much more simplification, focus, and strategic choices. Beyond that, as I mentioned earlier, all of our historic journey with the construction of this company through technology will give us much more scalability and profitability. The componentization makes it possible to make more better sales with bigger margins, and it often reposition ourselves as a company through a strategic positioning, very, very different. And our focus to get through this challenging moment with sustainability of our business, and preparing more and more the company for each one of the steps, strategic steps, so that we can, yes, go through a period of lower growth, that when this process returns, we'll be totally ready for expressive growth with expressive profitability at the same time. At the same time, this is part of our strategic plan, and we have demonstrated this over the recent quarters. And the highlight in this quarter, within the business unit of e-commerce, global e-commerce, we launched a product for the prevention of disputes by issuers. The first plan already signed up. We're demonstrating this is closer and closer to the journey of each plan. And last year, we launched that product, which we call Buy Checker. Now we're sending this product for this dispute, where we will show the market more and more our completeness of our solution, our proposed solutions. We also have a signed contract with a large client in the payment solution, which is one of the verticals of high growth. The process of fraud is complex, and ClearStyle has all the expertise and knowledge to gain a good part of this market and impressively, and with important margins because they're products which are more focused on decision making. We also continue to do our process of efficiency, which started back in the balance plan, looking at this two-factor authentication WhatsApp, which helped us to win an award as a case showing our multi-player solution, multi-component technological solution for e-commerce, improving our journey, client journey, looking at WhatsApp, and biometric links for 15 of our 20 largest clients, showing our capacity to continue innovating and always being in front of the fraud in this environment. It's much closer and prepared for diverse challenges in markets in the e-commerce area. One of the biggest highlights of this quarter was the entrance of 30 clients for the number 6 resolution of the central bank. We announced a few days ago that we had the position for a important product to growth. We were able to do it, and they're in production with no problems last week, with 30 new clients already running in this ClearStyle solution, which helps us to increase our data capacity and our capacity in the financial markets and repositions us in that market. The biggest solution in TP, the transition of payments, which facilitates the use of PIX at the checkout. And then in the cross sales, we continue to do the migration for the flow platform without compromising the indicators for automatic approval. It continues, which also increases our gross margin growth. We grow in a very structured way with digital components, redesign of solutions of application fraud for all clients, so we can more and more working on this base, clean base of client, clean and restructured. If we continue to do this, we continue doing this over the next years. New credit score, behavioral credit score, which we've been in business since last year, where we have one more case of a player of mobility, which has grown a great deal of relevance in the digital world, but also a very interesting discussion in the corporate world. The biggest highlight of this quarter was the reorganization, structural reorganization, which will give us a little bit more spread. I'm going to close my introduction, and I'd like to invite Mafra to give you the numbers from this quarter, demonstrating to you our results and our plan for the future. Thank you, Monaco. Thank you all for your presence. Good morning to everyone. I'm going to go look at our financial results in the third quarter of 2023. In the 9 months to date. In slide 7, I want to show you the non-recurring events. As Monica mentioned, on the 6th of October, we announced that the strategic restructuring affected an disconnection of approximately 9% of our total number of workers, which in financial terms represented 15% of the most recent payroll. In this quarter, we provided for rescissionary effects, which totaled 15 million reais in costs. On the other hand, we captured important tax effects. We captured 11 million from the Lead Bank. And with reference to 2022, we listed it as a recurring benefit because it was captured in the third quarter. Beyond that, we acquired the right to deduct income tax in the amount of 15.9 million as an effect of incorporation of Beta. This amount will be appropriated in 5 years, but with no impact on. On slide 8, I present our operational indicators. The churn is a satisfactory indicator, 2.2%, which theoretically means a lifetime of 46 years per client, excluding the closing, the effect of the closing of activities by one client, in other words, churn, which was not in our control, the indicator would be at 1.6%. Clients, we closed the quarter with 7,336 active clients, 75% in e-commerce, Brazilian e-commerce, 3% in international e-commerce, and 20% in fraud, application fraud. Compared to the same period of last year, we had an increase of 30 clients net compared to the second quarter. The RRI was 54 million in the third quarter and 141 million in the 9 months of 2023, with growth of 121% and 45.1% respectively. The expressive growth is due to the business unit of application fraud, which had an ARR of new sales of 47.2 million reais in the third quarter of 23, 106 million in 9 months of 2023, growth of 219% and 57% respectively. In Brazilian e-commerce, we can also observe a reduction of ARR with new sales compared to the second quarter of 23. We had sales above average. And we should point out that one third of the new sales was focused on digital, on real-time digital services. In international, the ARR of new sales totaled 1.2 million in the third quarter and 7.5 million in accumulated for 9 months, a fall of 62% and 33% in relation to the same period of the previous year. We should point out that our strategy of cleaning out our base is focused on profitable clients. With the strong Latin operations. On slide nine, we look at our indicators of operations and revenue. The net revenue for the third quarter of 23 was 119 million reais, a reduction of 8.4% in relation to the third quarter of 22, and 5.7% in relation to the previous quarter. We look at the accumulated of the period, we have a total revenue of 370 million, growth of 3.3% compared to the same period of the previous year. Brazilian e-commerce, Monaco explained the dynamic, which is the sale of components, especially for other verticals, and the reduction of dependence on large retailers. Placing this in numbers, we have a net revenue of 74.3 million in the third quarter, a reduction of 9% compared to the third quarter of 22, and 5.4% in relation to the previous quarter. In the 9 months of 23, revenue had a growth of 6.5%. We calculated a total of 226 million reais. In e-commerce, international e-commerce, the net revenue was 18.4 million, a fall of 4.5% in relation to the third quarter of 22, and 20% compared to the previous quarter, which was hot sales. 9 months, the revenue reached 52.8 million growth for 16.2% in relation to 9 months, 22. In application fraud, we calculate a revenue of 29.6, a reduction of 8.8% in relation to third quarter 22, a growth of 2.9% compared to the previous quarter. In the 9 months of 23, the net revenue totalized 90.9 million reais. In relation to the 9 months, we also carry forward the restrictions of credit, which is focused on products with higher margin. Slide 10, we present our expenses and recurring expenses. This year, a reduction of 16.1 million reais, or 4.2% compared to the same period of the previous year. Including the PLR, a reduction of 33.7% and 8.3%. In the quarter, recurring expenses reached 123 million reais, an increase of 3.9% when compared to the third quarter of 22, and a fall of 3.1% if compared with the same period in the quarter. We look at recurring. Of 33.2% internationally, with a gross margin of 38.5%. In the year to date, we had a gross revenue of 144 million reais, an increase of 20.1 million reais, representing a gross margin of 39.1%. It's worth mentioning here that we treat as recurring all costs of rescission on our table. We had a continuous reduction during the year, a little different than the treatment that we gave to the cost of non-recurring costs in the restructuring announced, as was announced. The EBITDA margin maintained at a positive level of 0.3%, while the consolidated margin had a slight negative effect of 3.7% for the year. Our EBITDA negative $18.2 million for the year, but a great improvement compared to the $46.9 million of the same period of the previous year. Important to mention that looking at the fourth quarter, we have a seasonal revenue effect, which is important. Also, the expectation of reduction, which will be very representative in all of the restructuring presented previously. Going to slide 13, the cash flow and debt. We have a generation of $1.2 million in the third quarter, 23 and $33.1 million for the year. Below, no cash flow of investments. We reduced investment to $5.5 million and $1.9 million in relation to the second quarter of 2023, both for the finalization of the investments in our new headquarters, as well as the maintenance and diligence of development without stopping investing in the company. In the upper right-hand corner, we closed the third quarter of 23 with a gross debt of 33.3% with an amortization of $9.3 million in debt in the third quarter of 23. And finally, we finalized the third quarter of 23 with a cash balance and finance applications of 413 million AIs, with 369 million discount gross debt that end. I would now like to call Monaco for his final comments. Thank you, Mafia. I wanted to make a final comment, pointing out 3 points for you, so that shortly we can be at your disposal for the questions that you are making in the chat. To consolidate all of our messages, I wanted to point out to you that this is a quarter which was very challenging due to macroeconomic questions in the segment of retailing, where retail has a relevance, an important relevance, and also the questions that are still accumulating in the scenario of Brazil credit. Nonetheless, we continue to do our homework, where we have projects that continue happening and that seek a company that's really sustainable, solid, healthy, resilient, and technologically sustainable. We have several projects which have been accumulated over the quarters, restarting our balancing internationally, the reorganization that we've done, reducing our fixed costs, CapEx, and other expenses, whether they be our strategy and technology and complementation and our technologies. With that, we're able to reduce our dependence on the big players, open new markets for resale, sell products with better profitability, and have a company which is much more flat and clean for this to get through this difficult moment. Growth, which is not pleasing to us, nonetheless, we're more and more ready, whether it be in our strategy of growth, whether our strategy of conducting our expenses, for a company which is preparing growth and profitability in the near future. Thank you all. And we're open for any questions you might have. We're now starting our question and answer session for investors and analysts. Please touch the Q&A button for your questions. In the fourth quarter, as I mentioned, to talk about what you think about, it's just cutting your personnel, or do you have other economies that you're realizing as well? Thank you, Thiago. Good to have you here with us in our call. Thank you for the question. And I want to divide it into several parts, because it's recurrent to all the strategy that we've done in the recent quarters, this process of management, which we've been running. So I wanted to talk about the variables, the variable costs. What has an effect in the improvement of the margins, starting with these variable costs? Every project that we do has behind it technological licenses or changing of technological components, including biometric validation, WhatsApp, two-factor WhatsApp identification, and other factors which have helped us to reduce the size of our manual operation. The second element, which helped our variable cost, is the exchange. More and more active exchange that ClearSale has done in each one of our components, the segments, whether it be e-commerce, financial markets. We have looked at our products carefully and sought out alterations in these products for an efficiency of ClearSale. This is a simple way would be a reduction of table cost and an increase of technology and technology components for our base clients. So this is the first element, reduction of variable cost through technology or changes in product line. The second element, which we've done just now, is the reduction of fixed costs and seeking strategic cost prioritization and a company which is more efficient. We have made this reorganization, which have much more focus to continue generating value in our company. In the journey of our cycle, which we have thought about strategically, this affects our new sales, which has been more and more healthy. It's the first year in which our new sales is practically totally healthy from the standpoint of bringing technology, new components in new segments, bring diversification to our portfolio. As you know well, our revenue, a good part of it is impacted by our base, another fact is impacted by new revenues. So this will happen over time because the new sales will influence on them. And I also want to make sure I say during this journey that we've done, also the turnaround which we've done internationally, where we came out of a cash burn from last year, and through synergies and choosing clients, control of chargebacks, we also had a good change in the international mindset, and we have also been able to create one more element of seeking efficiency. An important question, it's wide-ranging, but which brings to me all that we have done over this trajectory up until now. We have done during this trajectory in the last recent quarters, just to remember and answer your last question, this quarter specifically, we have our P&L greatly affected by a relevant part of these expenses, which are not recurring, which will, starting in the next quarter, have an important cleanup. If we start 2024 with everything lighter for a year, we should still start what we see with the macro. The end of 23, beginning of 24 is a challenging period, but creating these basis, solid basis so that we could surf on a new wave of growth going forward. Let me add just 2 points. I think it's very important that we add, let's talk about the results in this third quarter. I think that there are several items which would be very important for us to, for you to remind you of. First, we presented extremely important growth where we want to grow. If we look at part of digital components and digital economy, so our growth year on year has been 35%, a very important relevant to growth in e-commerce. Our operation, de-risking it, which is very important for operation, where we reduce our dependency for revenue from three of our biggest players in Brazilian e-commerce, which was 22% of has gone down to 13% of our revenue in the most recent quarter. This reduction of controlled revenue, is extremely important so that we can deleverage our operation, which is the effect that Monaco has just explained. We can't capture much this quarter because we also have decisions which are treated as operational expenses. However, it is an operational cost within our organization. It has nothing to do with the restructuring that we have announced. But I think that these two effects will help put land in a very interesting way starting in the fourth quarter. We'll see a company which is much more healthy with our costs of rescissions, recurring and non-recurring costs will no longer be part of our results. And a company which is growing its revenue where we want it to grow, in components and in clients and markets where we have much higher margins. I think it's very important to make this clear to you. Thank you, Thiago. About the international question, how do you see things going forward? Should we expect an acceleration of the operation in Mexico? Or anything? Is there anything happening there which will impact revenue? Internationally, this year, working on two principal fronts. The first was the front to find a balance, a sustainable balance for the international operation. Remembering that in 22, we had a cash burn of almost 70 million internationally coming from search for a more aggressive growth strategy. We're adjusting our process at the beginning of this year and look to seek out an improvement in chargebacks, synergies with the Brazilian businesses. And we have a lot of strategic synergies, which improves our international margins. And I recommend your question that I would say that in this process, the immense majority of our benefits have already been captured. But this does not take away the responsibility, and we're still seeking in the 24 budget for constant improvements and incremental improvements in our results. This is something that clears the data along the street, and we'll continue to do so in our international operations. From the standpoint of 2024, we also continue with a very good look at the acquisition of clients, cost of client acquisition. The biggest objective of 2023. New sales did not come at the high level in 23, at a very high level, with all the adjustments that we're making in 24. Even though we have bets in Mexico and in Latin America, we still see that we will have to be very careful with the cost of client acquisition for 2024 to maintain our focus in the improvements in profitability, both in the international operation as well as in ClearSale as a whole. A very important point about the national question, we're talking about cash burn. We cut that in half this year, which is a very big advance, a very important advance. This together with the focus that we have now on Latin America, we are still able to earn some good fruit from this operation. Tell me how your international balancing plan is going. I think we pretty much covered all the questions about the international market and the answer we just gave to Thiago. And the balancing plan continues as we mentioned. We have been able to capture some of the benefits, synergies, and the chargebacks, and we continue with the foreseen for next quarter. Beyond that, we continue to accelerate our idea of integrating more and more of the operations, systems, products, so that we can find new areas of growth in the international market, focusing on Latin America and specifically in Mexico. I have a question from Lorenzo, who is writing as an individual. I would like to know about the use of the stockholder situation with the low price of shares. Are there stockholders trying to increase their position or take over the company? As management, we have difficulty to answer this type of question. We're a company we're subject to market dynamics. Our obligation currently is to bring the best possible results that we can deliver to our stockholders. So I think that this is an aspect which doesn't have too much to do the day-to-day operation and responsibility that we have. Go questions, let me just organize them. I was going to mention the Q&A button on the lower left-hand side. You can use that. You send your name and the company that you represent, and we'll put them in the order here to try and answer as many questions as possible. One more minute while I organize the next questions. We have a question from Pedro Novais from Cromart. Excuse me for the pronunciation. My numbers have something like 15 million in swaps. Due to the uncomfortable position, do you plan to increase this amount? Thank you for the question, Pedro. At the moment that we made this stock swap, we made it to stand up to a long-term plan that we have in the company, and exactly to remove the volatility of our stock prices from our results. So this is the economic basis for the swap that we made. We are only going to do more swaps if we have a long-term opportunity to make sense. Otherwise, we're not going to speculate in this type of question before the market. Very well. So there, I don't see any more questions here. So there is a question button on the lower left-hand side. One more question. Yuri Kaisner, again, forgive my pronunciation. CS has a very valuable piece of database about the behavior of consumers. Do you have any way of monetizing this? Do you have any ideas for monetizing this? Thank you for the question. Very interesting question, because part of the essence of ClearSale, you call it our essence. With a question that most understands the digital behavior of Brazilians, which is a very relevant question. Can we monetize this base due to using our product? So whenever we launch a new product, it has behind it a very important use of this data. And any launch that we make, part of the premise that we use this data lake is for the destruction of these new products. Want to mention take advantage of two strategies that we have. One, a strategy of new data projects, for example, credit products, is one of the verticals that we have gone into with a great deal of success, been able to penetrate digital banks and large banks in a very accentuated way with very good conversations. We utilize our digital behavior to generate a credit score, a complementary credit score, which shows the power of the ClearSale database to approve people who are not yet being safely approved in the credit scenario. A very interesting example of what can be done with this space. Another example that's worth mentioning is an important pillar of our strategy, which is that the part of the premise we have to always launch products or initiatives which seek to increase our dominance in the data market. This year, I want to point out three initiatives to not only to increase this differential for yourself. First example, which I want to mention in this report, but for the first time, we're part of a bureau where we position ourselves as a solution with the lowest differential for the resolution of number six of the central bank, where we can foresee fraud. We have access to shared frauds within our base. and start to receive also consultations about this base of 30 players who are already ClearSale clients, but for whom we have a very different solution. There's another example is a product which we did with MasterCard Bite Checker, where we can look at the retailer and avoid chargebacks, starting from the simple integration in ClearSale, increasing the power of the data strength. The third largest initiative which we worked on is the PIX question, where we have launched several products, whether it be the ePIX, we've done the initiation for payments by retailing, or our initiative to make a PIX for the financial markets, avoiding fraud. This increases the dominance of data of ClearSale and increases our capacity to generate products and monetize these products. What we do not do, just to make it very clear, is send their data pure before GPT. Much more focused on the risk environment. Our solutions are aimed at the risk market. Okay, so end here on time, and respecting all of your time, I'm going to close now our questions and answers, and I'll pass the answer over to our director for their considerations, and then we'll close. Thank you, Felipe. You all who have once again been with us, accompanying our results. We have a lot of consciousness that it was a very difficult semester. It's a moment where ClearSale has made difficult decisions. We've been for several quarters consistently demonstrating to you our policies, which will make the company more healthy and technologically scalable, not only the control of our operations, for new segments, taking away our dependence on where ClearSale has dominance. Beyond that, similarly by our strategy, our differential of data and technology, and the risk that we have, which permits us to be in numerous segments and payment means in the future. We're ready to pass through this challenge, recognizing our revenue, but making the right decisions, doing what needs to be done so that we clean our base of clients and that we have growth in new segments. We have a much more profitable company and very resilient for our growth in various segments. Thank you all once again. Do you have anything you want to add? I think that's it. There's no way that we can say that we're happy with the results that we've had this quarter, but I think that there are aspects which are very positive, which have to be observed. I think we had an evolution which was very, very important, and we're paying the tolls right now in this third quarter, so that we have a highway which is much better going forward in the coming quarters. The company is looking very carefully at the cash, operating cash, and we understand that we're on the right path. So thank you all for having participated in our conference here, and we'll see you in the end of next quarter. Thank you very much. Thank you all. So the conference is now closed. Thank you for participation. Have a great day, and until the next meeting. Thank you.